My scripture reading is taken from the book of Revelation, Revelation 21, and we'll start with the first verse. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these wonderful words that comes from your holy book. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement that we get and the knowledge that we get from studying your word. And Heavenly Father, bless this service and let each thing that's done and said be to your praise and glory. And in Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. I remind you again that our Torah portion this morning was based around the words, and he appeared. And I don't know about you, I expect it's true that everyone that's here during the Torah part of our service is tremendously blessed by the comments and the study of each person that's involved. Not only David as a leader, but all of you, because many thoughts from you inspire each one of us, and that's very important. And my message to you today is entitled Appearances and First, F-I-R-S-T-S. First. My text is at verse 7. Let's look at it again. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. How much more personal can we get with a promise like that from Yahweh and Yeshua? That if we are one of the ones found worthy, that is, if we are overcomers of the things that is not like God, and we overcome the things that come against us in life, and we stay true and dedicated and sincere through the things that Yahweh brings to us, and Yeshua showed us by his example on this earth. If we remain true to that, then we are overcomers, and we will be one of those that this verse 7 applies to. We will inherit all things, and you might even think, well, this promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob of how they would be blessed and what they were to inherit. And we can claim that as His people, virtual descendants of Abraham, one of the family of God, one of Israel. At the very first, we have an appearance in the Word of God, and that is an appearance by Yahweh Himself and Yeshua. And the very first words recorded in Genesis 1, 1 through 3, let's look at that. We're bringing out some really good things in God's Word. Things that you are to consider, give thought to, be reminded of. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Is that the Holy Spirit that we're talking about? Absolutely. There's only one Spirit, and the Spirit of God, the Word records, moves over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God spoke the earth into existence. He spoke all things into existence by His Word. God blessed first. Have you ever considered this? God blessed first His creation through the fourth day. The earth, living creatures, birds, the waters, the heavens, light, the sun, the moon, vegetation, trees, every living creature. God blessed first all of these through the fourth day. Then God blessed next man. Let's look at Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." In regard to what happened during the first four days and God's blessings on them, let's look at Genesis 1 and 22. I'm going back a little bit, but I want us to read this. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let birds multiply on the earth." Now that was one of the scriptures that let you know that He blessed all of these things that I called out to you through the fourth day as the first of His blessings. Next, God blessed a day. a day. God blessed a day of each and every week. That must have been really special because it comes every week. God must have wanted us to do whatever it is on that day as something prime importance for us to be as He would have us to be and for us to personally know Him and know that He wants a close relationship and a close communication with Him. Let's look at Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts. By the seventh day, God had completed His work, which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work, which God had created and made. Let's look at God's first questions to man. Genesis 3, 8 through 11. God's first questions to man. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" God could say that to us this morning. Where are you? What are you doing? How are you living your life? Are you closer to me today than you were a week ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Where are you? And how are you? And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Questions to the first man. And note that this was not only the first questions to man within these verses, but also God's first walk in the garden. And I really love that verse, I believe it was 8. If you look at this and you just read it real slow and just let every word just sink into your spirit, into your very being. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Isn't that wonderful descriptions? God's first question to the first woman. Let's go to Genesis 3 and 13. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" Have you ever said that to your wife? Or to your woman? "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. A woman always has a reply, don't she? Comes back with some real good things. The first curse was to the serpent. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. What about the first deception? And of course, this was by the woman, Eve. Let's look at Genesis 3, 13 and 14. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, and then what we read, cursed are you because of this deception. What about the first help that God gave? Do you have any idea what the first help would have been? And I'll say here that most of these verses that I'm referring to, I'm referencing the King James Version of the Bible on most of them. And I will let you know if there's another version that I use that also used the same kind of description. The first help given by the Lord was to the woman, Eve, in childbearing. Let's go to Genesis 4 and 1, and that probably will need to be the King James Version. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. I'm looking for Genesis 4 and 1. Is that the King James Version? Okay. Check the NASB. Okay, here you go. So excuse me, but it's the NASB version for this that describes the first help. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. And of course that version has a parenthesis around the help of, and I did not notice that when I read it. But that's the first help to the woman in childbearing. Appearances are not what they always seem. We can be deceived by appearances. We can be mistaken by appearances. But there are notable appearances throughout the Word of God, ones that we should try to remember. And the first one we find in Genesis 12 and 7. And hopefully we'll be back to the King James Version, but I believe this particular one is also in the NASB. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Notable experiences to Abram. And let's go to Genesis 18 and 1. Now the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. Remember that? I think leading to Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's go to Genesis 35, verse 9. Let's go to Genesis 35, verse 1, 7, and 9. Then God said to Jacob, "Arise and go up to Bethel and live there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. The NASB would be the ones for some of those, 1 and the 9 verse. And then in the verse 7 is the King James Version. And of course, who he appeared to was to Jacob. And these are the verses of his appearance to Jacob. And it's memorable that it should be noted that the appearances was to the one after Abraham, down through Isaac to Jacob, that just as the promises was made to Abraham, so they would be to the ones that come after Abraham as his seed, Jacob. Now we'll go back to Genesis 26 and 2, and this is where he appeared to Isaac. And the NASB version 26, 2. The Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you." In Exodus 3 and 2, we have an angel of the Lord. Now, you may speculate of who this angel of the Lord was, but we have an appearance of the angel of the Lord to Moses at the burning bush. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. Miraculous events in God's word to notable people. In Mark 16 and 12, Mark 16 and 12. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. If you remember, that was after Jesus died, shed his blood for the remission of our sins, all of our sins. And he rose, and it's recorded one of his appearances there to the two as they were walking along. And some others, Mark 16:14. Let's look at that. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. The appearances of Yeshua after he rose from the grave. Matthew 17 and 3 is another notable experience, appearance. And notice this is concerning Jesus and a notable experience with his apostles or disciples. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with him. Let's look also at Mark 9 and 4. Mark 9 and 4. Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. You know, there's other scriptures in God's Word that is speculation or thought that Elijah and Moses would be the two notable men that would also appear again as part of prophecy. Now, I think some believe that Elijah and Moses will be the two witnesses that is in Revelation that comes within that tribulation period. And I think most of you know what I'm speaking of. In Acts 12 and 7, let's look at that. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. An angel of the Lord appeared to Peter. Does it always have to be an angel or God or Yeshua doing the appearing? Let's look at Acts 16 and 9. Acts 16 and 9. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Remember that? A vision appeared in this translation. Acts 2 and 3. Notable appearances in the translations of these events. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And I think maybe the King James Version has cloven tongues there in that verse. Cloven tongues appeared. Mark 16:9. Look at that. Now, after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. This translation says Mary Magdalene was the one that he first appeared to after he had died on the cross and been in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Now, for other keys on his appearances in that regard, Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8 in the NASB version. 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8. And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. And that, of course, was the Apostle Paul. In conclusion, I would like for you to consider some verses in Revelation that I'd like to bring. Revelation 4 and 3. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. My message to you, appearances and first. This is wonderful that it describes he who sat on the throne. And to me, as I read this, I see that the he that it's referring to is the Father, Yahweh. In verse 5 and verse 1. And this one who it described sitting on the throne, in verse 5 we find out, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. We are in the part of the Bible that is speaking of something that has not yet come, not yet happened, futuristic. But you can rest assured it's going to occur. And in verse 3, let's look further about this book that was in the one's hands who was sitting on the throne. And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. But we have a clarifier to that, one that is notable. In verse 6, and I saw between the thrones with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Symbols of Yeshua. And let's go to verse 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And that's speaking of the Lamb who was standing as if he was slain, went and took the book out of him who sat on the throne. Now, 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break the seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. How good is that description of Yeshua as the perfect sacrificial Lamb of God? Let's go to 12 and 13. Saying with a loud voice, and every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, let's go back to 12. Okay. I don't know if I have the wrong scriptures there or not. Next judgment I'd like to speak of from the book at the great white throne judgment. Let's go to Revelation 20, 11, 12, and 13. And I'm closing pretty quickly. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, and from whose presence the earth and the heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things written, which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And I ask here to all, is it important what you do in your life? Are works important? Or is it totally only having faith without works? That's spoken of heavily in the Bible. And here we are told you are going to be judged according to your deeds. Let's look at Revelation 20:15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I think you want your name in that book. And I think you don't want your name blotted out of that book, which we find in other scriptures. Revelation 21 and 27. 21 and 27. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose name are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Looks like it's saying Yeshua's Book of Life. We have a warning toward the end of these scriptures and toward the end of my message to you on appearances and notable experiences. And first, let's go to Revelation 22, 18 and 19. And we want to be sure to remember this because this applies to all of us. It applies to all churches, all ministers, all of the family of God, all people. And as we decided in our Torah portion, all would mean all the family of God, no matter if you're Jew or if you're Gentile. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. You want to be in that book. You don't want to change, try to add to or take away to fit your lifestyle, to fit your religion, to fit your doctrine, anything and everything. You don't want to add or subtract from God's word, because it will be as if your name will be blotted out. You won't be in that book if you do those things. And at the conclusion, I'd like to go to Revelation 22 and 1 through 5. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the lamp, light of the lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Those are scriptures that we need to take totally to heart and to find ourselves being within his will and his way on those scriptures. If you would, stand with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message and thank you for what we read in your book and the knowledge that we gain from it and the understanding that we gain from it. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the notable appearances. And Heavenly Father, the first that we read about in your word. Let them bless our heart. Let them give us satisfaction, joy, and comfort as we read them. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless these that are here today and those who hear this message through the internet, and let them and their families and their loved ones be blessed as they serve you and as they gain the knowledge each and grow each day of their life in your word. And Heavenly Father, through Yeshua's name, we ask these things, and amen. And we'd like to read the blessing. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.